Welcome to the Men's Health Week podcast series. I'm Mark Sainsbury. Men's Health Week is an awareness campaign. We're not after your money, just your attention. And in 2022, it's about small steps. And you've already taken one just by joining us. This series is about the areas us guys are a bit crap at dealing with. But the good news is, by taking small steps, making small changes, we can turn things around. We're not about giving sermons or lectures, but we reckon our guests have something to offer you in the areas that impact on us the most. In this episode, we get to the heart of men's health, cardiovascular disease. 40% of deaths in the Pacific community are from CVD, something that's been troubling the chair of the Pacific GP network, Dr. Api Tullimaitonga. It might trouble us too, if we knew what it meant. Welcome, Api.
Thank you very much, and Bula Vinaka.
Bula Vinaka, to tell me, what exactly is CVD? I mean, this cardiovascular disease, we roll it off the tongue. What is it?
So it's a collection of risk factors like high blood pressure, diabetes, high cholesterol, and even smoking as well. So cardiovascular disease is when those risk factors contribute to firming up the arteries, forming plaque, causing blockages that decrease the supply, one to your heart and the other to your brain.
These are killers.
They're killers. And when you don't get the blood supply going to the end organ, whether it's the brain, the heart, the kidneys or the liver, that's when you start to get failure of that organ.
Can it be turned around?
Yes, it can. And this is the important message, that even though genetics is there for a lot of us and can contribute a lot, if you intervene early and stop smoking, manage your blood pressure, reduce your consumption of fats, and reduce the carbohydrates so you don't get diabetes, you can turn it around.
But Api, when we look at the stats, men again, like a lot of other areas we look at, the numbers are worse for them. So is that something peculiar to our lifestyle, or is it genetics, or combination of things?
It is a combination of things. And the good thing about it is we can alter our lifestyle. So just because your dad or your uncle had a heart attack or a stroke early in life, it's not automatic that'll happen to you. You can actually do preventative measures to stop it from happening to you.
Look, here's something else I always wanted to know. What is the difference between a stroke and a heart attack?
Good question, because a lot of people, particularly in the Pacific community, get mixed up with that. A stroke is when the blood flow to the brain has been blocked off, so you get paralysis of the opposite side of your body. A heart attack is when the blood flow to the muscle of your heart in the left part of your chest is blocked and you get chest pain, shortness of breath. That's a heart attack.
So it's all about blood flow, just a question of where, whether it's shortages in your brain or in your heart.
Exactly.
Okay, so, and I think I read somewhere, a woman's heart beats faster, just slightly.
Just slightly, yeah, and there's lots of reasons for that. But, you know, a really fit, athletic woman would have a much slower heart rate than the average man.
And while we're dishing out those, the other thing that amazed me, because I saw one at Te Papa, was I think the biggest heart, because everyone always thought it was elephants, 13 kgs, I think, an elephant's heart, 180 kgs for a blue whale.
That's true, yeah, and that shows you the amount of work that that mammal has to do to circulate blood around their body.
Look, you're a doctor. I mean, everyone's health is your concern, but you do have a particular interest in the Pacific. Why are Pacifica men worse off in these stats? Again, is there something to do with their genetic makeup or maybe the Pacific diet?
Pacific diet has a big role to play here. So the men are seen as patriarchs of the family, so they get served the best food. If they're not eating well, and mostly too well, then it's not a good reflection on their family. And so men, not just with genetics, but with lifestyle, have a much higher risk because of the food that we eat.
How do you turn that round? Because, look, I have family connection in terms of the Samoan community, and I know you go to any birthday or a wedding or a feast and you're lavished with food, and it's a sense of pride that people make sure you have the best food. And yet it's not always helpful.
And it's sad that the food that we're eating that gives us that pride is actually the source of killing us. And we need to change that around. And it's not going to happen overnight, but slowly with education, telling the young men and young women of today that food plays a huge role in this risk factors that I've mentioned before.
You see, that we look at some basic things. We look at fizzy drinks and sugar drinks, and they're like a no-brainer. Yet there must be lots of other food which we wouldn't think twice about. Oh, that's all right, I've only had this. What are the things we should watch out for, do you think, Arpi?
A lot of it is the carbohydrates that we eat. We love our taro and our bananas and cassava. That is loaded with carbohydrates.
But people say people in the Pacific communities have been eating that food for generations and generations. Why is it suddenly a problem now?
Because in previous generations, they worked out in the plantations every day. They didn't go in their car to an office and sit there while eating the same food. So people were working off the loading of food that they had in previous generations. Now we've changed our lifestyle, and it's really important. I talk to rugby league players as they're playing. They're fit. They can eat and they work out. And it's like, this is great. But you've got to remember that when you stop playing, something needs to change as well.
Is that a big issue amongst retired sports players?
It is a huge issue. And it's really sad that when I see them, it's usually because diabetes has slowly crept in or the cholesterol is far too high. But if you get it early, and that's why I think men now need to think about going in for a checkup so that you have an idea where your levels are before it's too late.
And this is advice that whether you are Samoan, Fijian, Tokelau, Palangi, whatever, for everyone, this is advice you need to take seriously. So how do we get that sort of change? You've also talked in the past, and we've talked, Arpi, that there are certain barriers in terms of that Pacifica community to accessing healthcare. Cost is one. Is that still a factor? People can't afford to go to a doctor?
It is. It's a cost, but not just in monetary terms. It's a cost because the car that is shared by three or four members in the family may only be available after six when they've finished work. When the GP is closed, who charges low cost, but they have to then go to an after-hours clinic where it's far too high. But cost is just one of the reasons. The other thing is the quality of the care that the clinician provides. And I encourage my colleagues in general practice that if you provide good quality care to your Pacifica patients, they will come back.
That suggests that some Pacifica patients have not had quality care, Arpi.
That's right. And I think this is why our health stats has not improved a lot in the last 20 years. We really need to look at the quality of that interaction. It's not just the transaction, come in, get your prescription and go out. It's the quality that the clinician gives, make sure his advice, her advice is understood.
Is this why it's also important that for all of us, we need to have a relationship with our doctor? Our doctor needs to know us.
Absolutely. I love the fact that I know the parents of the person sitting in front of me. I know which church they go to. So you can inject part of your advice in saying, you know, I know there is a volleyball team from that church. Why don't you join that? Just go there after church on Sunday to increase your activity levels.
Let's give us a couple of basic steps, again, that anyone, because this is an issue, doesn't matter what colour your skin is, you can still get affected by this. So what are some of the basic tips, apart from booking in, and we're encouraging all men this Men's Health Week, to, if you haven't been to a doctor in a while, ring up, make an appointment, take that first step. So apart from that, what are the other bits of advice you'd dish out for free? Because we all like something for free, RP.
Just when you go along to your doctor, make sure you've thought about your family history. It'll really help your doctor if you're able to say what mum or what dad had at what age, or any of the uncles or aunties. That helps your risk profile. One of the things that we don't think about is activity. Everybody talks about exercise, going to the gym. It's just activity. And when you're young, and I give the example of rugby league players, they're active after work every day, training, playing on the weekend. But at some time, whatever age it gets, they stop. But they're still consuming the same amount of food that happens. And so the body has to give. So building in an activity every day, whether it's a walk around the block, it's playing touch or anything like that, it's really important. Or if your thing is going to the gym, build in an activity every day.
And meanwhile, this Men's Health Week, go and see a doctor.
Absolutely. We'll be happy to see you.
Thanks for listening. And remember, those small steps could save your life. You just need to take the first one. And thanks also to our friends at the Master Builders. Without their generous and constant support, Men's Health Week wouldn't be possible.